Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to All Things Sports. This is Big Mike. With my co-host, T. Miller, we're here doing the show on All Things Sports. Miller, you got anything for me today? We're going to start with some NBA.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's been a long time coming. Thanks to the B-Hour Network for getting us on and letting us do our thing here talking sports. Excited to get going. Yeah, we're first day of the NBA season today. Heat and Bulls kicking off the season tonight. What do you think, Mike? You got the Heat this year, or you got the Bulls? I'm sorry about that. You got the Heat or you got the field as far as the championship?
I got the Heat, man. If Dwayne Wade is healthy, they're the best team in basketball. His health is probably the most important thing that can keep the Heat from winning it all, but adding Derrick Rose to that team just ain't enough for them to overtake the Heat, and I can't see anybody in the West really challenging them either. What do you think?
You know what? I gotta go to the field. Number one, I'm a Heat hater, so I'm a little biased to begin with, but the East is a lot tougher this year. I think Brooklyn's going to add a little bit to the East as well. Celtics North now. And then you got the Bulls. So I think they're going to have to play at least two tough series to get to the Western Conference champion. And, if Westbrook comes back healthy, I think the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be your champion this year. Oh,
don't misunderstand me. There's no bigger Heat hater than me. I'm a Bulls fan, so you know I hate the Heat. I would love to see D. Rose be enough of that team, but Bulls is a disappointment. Noah's primarily a defensive player. There's just nobody else on that team that could put the ball in the basket consistently enough for them to be any good, I don't think. Luol Deng's primarily a defender. There's just not enough offense on that Bulls team for them to overtake the Heat. That Brooklyn team is really intriguing to me. How much does Pierce have left? How much does Garnett have left? I think that'll be the key. If there's anything left in those old legs, I actually think from top to bottom they're the best team in the East. But where LeBron is to where the second best player in the NBA is, there's so far of a difference. Like, he's so much better than everybody else. He can carry a team to the finals if there's not enough good players on that other team. So I like the Heat.
All right, I got to agree with you on LeBron being the best in the league. I think that's not in question. Let me ask you this. You got Miami, who is going for the first repeat since the Lakers of 2000 to 2002. With LeBron, if he gets this repeat,
no,
what more does he need to do to be in the Kobe and Michael conversation?
Don't start. I knew that was coming, but the Kobe conversation, the Michael conversation are different conversations. You know me, there's nobody who reaches the Michael conversation, and until LeBron gets the six, I think, six championships puts him in the Michael conversation. Anything less than that doesn't, for me personally, doesn't put him in the Michael conversation. But I don't think there's ever been this big of a difference between the best player and the second best player. Like, even when, Michael was in the league, there were players who was pushing him, challenging him. There's nobody pushing LeBron. He is far and shoulders so much better than everyone else that it's not even a conversation.
Well, I think, you're forgetting the fact that this is going to be, if he does make it for the finals, he's looking at this is going to be his third finals. Now, I know your argument is going to be, well, why did LeBron in the finals? Well, so did, but those past teams were terrible. So, I think just the fact that he was able to lead those teams to the Eastern Conference Championship in those years.
Well, I mean,
he's right there in the, for me, he's right there in the coaching conversation already.
And in the 80s, some of those Bulls teams were terrible. If it weren't for the Pistons, they would have been, Jordan got to a lot more finals than he did. But, there aren't any great teams, in my opinion, there weren't any great teams in the East when it was with the Cleveland, with the Cavaliers to really challenge them. The Celtics got good that one year, but other than that, who's really challenging in the East in the early 2000s? Nobody.
Okay. What about we got in the nightcap, we have Clippers and Lakers on. We all know, everybody out there knows that Kobe's out. But what about Doc Rivers moving out to L.A.? What do we think is going on in the West?
That's my favorite for the West. I think the Clippers are with Doc. I think that show was too big for Del Negro. I think with Doc, I think he's the best coach in the league at the moment. He'll get that team to play more together. He'll get Blake Griffin to play more defense. Hopefully, if Blake Griffin could defend, develop post game, that team will be really good. But I think they're the best in the West. Now that depends on how healthy Westbrook is. Now, if Westbrook is healthy, then that's my one and two, depending on, like I said, when it comes down to it, that'll be one and two. Everybody else in the West are just pretenders. I don't think I think we saw the last hurrah of San Antonio last year.
I agree.
Golden State will be better, but not good enough. So 1-2, I take Clippers
you're going with Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, the Rockets will do a little something, but I don't think Dwight Howard's a big enough difference to make that team a real contender.
And I was just gonna say, I haven't watched too much preseason basketball, so don't get me wrong, but the highlights that I've seen going out, I think he had a little Randy Moss syndrome out there, like the opening with Randy Moss. He looks like he kind of scared it down a little bit in LA. So he looks waiting on the seat again, and I think he's back to being happy. So I think it'll be surprising out there actually. I have the Rockets over the Clippers.
Oh, okay.
I got Oklahoma City at number one.
Here's my thing with that. I'm not a big Dwight Howard dude. Anybody who needs to be happy to compete, I can't really get down with that kind of stuff. I mean, like, have to get out of here. Like,
well, I got you. I mean, I'm not saying championship, but at the same time, I just think. I think they're going to compete. You've seen, Randy Moss put up some big numbers. He didn't get a championship either, but, just be on the surprise. What about, you got any other surprise teams in the NBA, or is that about it?
I don't think this team is going to really challenge anybody. They might be fifth or sixth, but I like what Cleveland is trying to do. If Bynum has anything left in his legs, if he could play at all, I like what they're trying to do. I don't know if that rookie is going to be any good. I actually thought that was a bad pick. But I really like Kyrie Irving. I think they got a chance to win some games. I'd say maybe they're still 6 or 7 best in the East, but that's a team I would watch.
Okay, I'll go with that. I actually like that. That's something I hadn't thought about, but I like that. The Nets roster, they loaded that up. I don't know if people are aware of that. Andre Kirilenko, you got Joe Johnson still there. And then basically you got that nucleus of Garnett and Paul Pierce, the general living in the point guard. There's a lot of pieces. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. You got Jason Kidd in the team. I think it's very interesting. That's an intriguing watch as far as the NBA goes. And
not to interrupt, but I actually think that Jason Kidd, and this is just my opinion, I think that him coaching team is, I think that team's set up to win. I think they should have went out and got an experienced coach who's done it before. I think that team is probably one good coach away from really being good and really challenging the Heat. I think, if anything, Jason Kidd being a rookie coach, I know he's a great player. I know he's a coach on the floor. I've heard all of that. But I think he might be the weak link from them really being good.
Jay Kidd's my guy. I mean, I can't agree with you there. He's a proven NBA champion. Was able to play at a high level at a late age, and to add to that, I mean, he's part owner, so he's got a vested interest. So I see him doing big things there. I feel like before we get off the NBA train, we gotta talk Lakers. I mean. What's going on there? There's so many Laker fans out here. We gotta give them a little bit of a shout out.
I think they're gonna be
fired in the first 6 months.
They're gonna be bad. I can't see that team doing any better than eighth in the West. They tried to play it up that Kobe's a freak of nature. He went overseas, got this surgery done, whatever. But you don't come back from a if you blow out your Achilles, you don't come back from that real quick. He's not going to play for a while. They got Nick Young. He's going to try to be Kobe while Kobe's gone. He's probably going to take too many shots. I just, like, Gasol doesn't really fit into what D'Antoni's trying to do. That team's going to be bad. And I can't see a single way where, you know, maybe Steve Nash could do what he did with some of those Suns teams, like basically dribble around the circles and find guys cutting to the basket. But I can't see that team being any good.
Man, I got to give it to you. For somebody that's a so-called NBA hater, you know you're NBA this year. I can't argue that. All you Laker fans, I mean, it's going to be a long year. So sit back and relax for that. As far as the format of the show goes, that's about all the NBA you're going to get out of us. You know, I feel like we gave it a good run right there. But we're going to be focused right now, at least until after the first year. We're going to be focused on NFL, definitely, and then college football as well. So, you know, as we transition, we'll get a little baseball in before we transition to the NFL. That'll take up the majority of the show. We're looking at 3-2 Boston. Now, I haven't – let me first start by saying I'm an L.A. Dodgers fan, and I can't get into this World Series. I mean, number one, I hate Boston. And number two, I'm so upset because I feel like the Cardinals are just such a team. I mean, camaraderie, and I guess that's baseball. You know, they broke Hanley Ramirez's ribs, which he was our catalyst in L.A., so I'm upset. I know you probably watched a little bit closer than I have. I will say this, I've seen a lot of the end of the games, and Boston looks good. They're back into their bullpen is better than St. Louis. The only thing I'm worried about for Boston is maybe win game six, because in game seven, if you got Jake Peavy going in game seven, I feel like that's anybody's game. So
right.
My prediction is that Boston's going to come out and win game six and put the World Series to rest. What do you think there?
I hate both teams so much that I haven't really been a part of this World Series. I think that, you know, me, like, I think the beards are stupid. I think all of this, you know, these are the two teams that are supposedly keepers of the game. And, you know, I didn't like that whole thing about how they were getting on Puig for celebrating a little bit. Like, I don't see any difference between that and what Victorino did when he's hopping around the base like an idiot when he hits a home run. Like, so I don't like either one of these teams, so I haven't really been paying attention. But I guess if I had to make a pick, the back end of Boston's bullpen is much better. If this game six gets into a bullpen game, it's Boston all the way. If Waka pitches lights out, of course, it's so I guess I'm not really making a pick. So if I had to make a pick, I'll say Boston. I think Boston's going to win tonight. I think Lackey's going to outpitch Waka. If it gets to a game seven, I got the Cardinals, because I think I agree with you, even though I'm a big Peavy fan because I'm a White Sox guy. He's not 2007 Jake Peavy. He doesn't have as much velocity on his pitches. His slider doesn't move nearly as much. So I think that's anybody's game as well. So 6, Boston, 7, Cardinals. That's not really a pick, is it?
Now, did they actually split the team this year? Or is that,
oh, come on now.
Well, you guys were in the okay. I stopped watching
in July. It was too depressing. That was as bad as it gets. So, yeah. Spring training, I'll be back out there. You know, we'll do some Camelback Ranch again. I'll drink a lot of beer, and I'll fucking – my team will be bad again. So,
hey, Camelback Ranch is the spot. All right, we're getting ready. As we said, we're going to transition into some football, which is, you know, what everybody's listening for. Football season, not baseball or basketball. I know a lot of guys in my work are talking basketball. I feel like you gave it due because I can't get into basketball until January.
It's funny you say that. I was actually surprised at how many people were talking basketball, too, during football season. I'm with you. I usually don't check out the NBA until after the All-Star break, but there is a lot of people talking basketball, which is odd to me since I think the Heat is so much better than everyone else. It's odd to me that there's even a conversation, but there are a lot of people talking basketball, but, yeah, I'm done with that.
Let me ask you this. You think that's LeBron kind of having a Jordan effect on the game, or, you know, now he's going for a 3-2 to turn around for the pitcher back in the NBA because it's been a while. Like you said, it's just
For as much as people talk about parody, I think people like Goliath. I think, if you have a team that's, you know, head and shoulders or seemingly head and shoulders better than everybody else, there's so many people that's on their back and there's so many people that want to see him fall. So, yeah, I think LeBron has been a kind of a lightning rod for basketball in a good way. Because I think the NBA was dead for a long time, and I do think that him actually, even though I'm not a LeBron lover, I think he makes great commercials. He has nice-looking shoes, and I think that's what the NBA is more about, bringing fans. That's how they bring fans in. You got to have a guy that's a lightning rod, a guy that people can either love or hate, like Jordan was, like Magic was, et cetera. So, yeah, I think a lot of that is LeBron.
And then I don't know if we mentioned it. This show is being broadcast out of Phoenix, and we got to give a quick mention to the Suns.
Do we?
Hey, believe me, they're not relevant. You know, they're relevant as far as the number one pick in the draft. But, you know, they recently made the move to ship their best player out. Is there a plan here? I mean, what do you think?
Are we in agreement that Gortat was their best player?
I know Eric Bledsoe's on the team. I can't give you another roster member. I mean,
Goran Dragic?
Yeah, he's not the best player.
No, it was either Gortat or Bledsoe. And any time you're on a team where Gortat or Bledsoe is your best player, your team is bad. But the only thing I can say about the Suns is I know some people. I was talking to some people the other day who have season tickets, and they're trying their damnedest to get rid of them. So,
Man, I'm expecting to see at least a couple Suns games for free. So,
yeah,
if you guys are out there, go ahead and call in if you're giving Suns tickets away.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take them. I'll take my girl out there, and only if the tickets are free.
Yeah, I know tons of people trying to get rid of them. So, the Suns are. It's going to be another long season. But they're going to get into the lottery for this Wiggins kid that everybody seems to want. And, LeBron will be a free agent. Maybe they can get Wiggins, put some money together. I guess they clear up a lot of cap room by shipping out Gortat because Okafor's contract is expiring. So we'll see.
Wiggins, where did he end up going to college, just real quick?
Kansas, yeah. He's a Bill Self guy.
And he can recruit.
They say he's not even – this is Bill Self talking, but he says he hasn't even been the best kid in practice this year. So I don't believe that's true because I can't think of anyone who's still at Kansas that would be better. But
hey, what's one of these college coaches doesn't downplay their team? I've seen an interview with Tom Izzo, too, and they're trying to – they all act like they're struggling. But
right.
we'll see. Now, with this being our first show, we don't even know if anyone's out there listening, but if you have anything you want to talk about, go ahead and give us a call. Mike, go ahead and give us a call. Number, I can't see it from where I'm
at. The number is 718-766-4553. So give us a call. We're here. I know I told a few people that I'd be on the air, but I don't think they're knowledgeable enough to call and talk to me about sports. So maybe I'll have to get out the number a little bit more, but it's 718-766-4553. If you're out there listening, you got an opinion about anything we've talked about or anything at all, give us a call. We're going to do a quick PSA spot, and then we should be back, talk about NFL, maybe a little college. So give us a minute, and we'll be back with all things sports.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believe my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough. All kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
So really, all
right, we're back with All Things Sports with Big Mike, Chris Miller. Going to talk a little NFL. Let's get into the game of the week, or what I believe was the game of the week. Dallas and Detroit. I have a Lions fan in the building, so I'm sure he was happy about the way it ended, but let's ask this. did the Lions win it, or did the Cowboys cough it up?
Oh man, as much as I have Lion pride, I gotta say that the Cowboys lost that game. Detroit turned the ball over four times. I'll be honest, as I was watching live when we went for it on fourth down with just below 2 minutes, I thought the game was over. I mean, they got to get one first down, and they went conservative with a terrible D, a D that Ernie Sims starts for. And
Larry Sims still starting that team? He left and came back, right?
No, he's with Dallas. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he's with Dallas. All right.
If you got a defense that Ernie Sims starts, you may want to try and get that first down. As much as Megatron had a huge game, everybody's heard about that. That's been talked about a lot. Dallas just, they find a way to lose. That's what Tony Romo does, and I know you
definitely
can't put this one on Romo, but you can question his leadership. You can question, you have the Des Bryant thing going on the sideline. Jason Garrett.
What do you think about that Des Bryant thing? Is that a big deal? Or is it a bigger deal as the media's market has been making it? I don't think to me it's not a big deal, but what do you
think? It's really not. I mean, he's a little animated. I mean, that's probably who he is. I mean, I don't know Des Bryant or anything like that, but that's somewhere I feel like, he's being animated. He's into the game, which, as a teammate, that's what you want. I mean, you want someone that cares. It's just everything is on camera, maybe trying to choose a better way to get your point across than being that animated, because then that becomes the conversation when, Dez is probably a little bit immature. That's all it is. I don't see it being a big deal.
I guess my issue with that has been is that we saw that last year or year before, no, 2 years ago, Tom Brady's on the sideline. He dressed down Bill O'Brien. He's in his face. The whole talk after that was how passionate Tom Brady is, how much he cares. None of that's been the talk with Des Bryant. And I understand Des Bryant has a history, the college thing when he got basically kicked off the team for doing nothing, for having a friend that happened to be an NFL player. We got a bad taste in our mouth about Des, but, like, why can't we just say he's just as passionate as we would say about anyone else?
Tommy B has he's got championships to back that up as well. So I mean, if Des Bryant's coming off a Super Bowl championship where he led his mates,
Tommy
B's
a bad,
the talk is different.
Tom Brady's a bad example. I'm just saying that, I don't think a guy on the sidelines. I don't even, the tape we've heard, he wasn't even necessarily mad at him. He was more trying to pump him up and maybe got too far with it, but I don't think it's a big deal, especially in a game like football where everyone emotions are high, man. Like that's probably the most emotional sport where you're going to have all of that. So is that really a big deal?
Like I said, I mean, I started off by saying I don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
He's got to be smart enough to know that it looks bad. I mean,
it does
he knows his history. Like I said, it shows a little. To me, it shows a little bit of immaturity. But also, if I'm on his team, not that I ever played at a high level, but I've been on the sideline where I've punked teammates and not necessarily in that way, but just let them know, hey, what's going on? And then if they're saying something back to me, I'm going to be animated about it. So,
right.
I understand it. I just, he's got to realize he's under the microscope. So,
right.
Like to see him be a little bit smarter.
Right. All right, we'll get back to the football side of it. My opinion on that game, I agree with you. I thought Dallas blew it. I thought, I'd actually, to be very honest with you, I'd actually turned away from it because I thought Dallas was going to win when they had the, I can't remember specifics, but I know they had the ball right before the 2 minute warning and they're trying to run the clock out. So I turned away from it thinking they would run the clock out. And when I turned back, Stafford's diving over the pile for a game winning touchdown. I don't even know what happened in between those two times because I was so sure Dallas was going to win. I'd given up on that game and went to another one. Which, I've actually come to find out that's the downside to having an NFL Sunday ticket is that you move from game to game to game to game, and then you wind up missing good parts of other games. But anyway, I'm not down to the
ticket. I've watched plenty of games where you've maybe missed the conclusion of the game.
Right.
I know how you watch. I watch my team.
I'm a little antsy with the clicker, but, I don't want to miss anything, which I usually turn out missing something. But anyway. No, I thought Dallas blew that game, and One thing I got to say is I can't believe, you know, when I first saw Randy Moss, I couldn't believe how good he was. I can't believe how good Megatron is. That is, like, there's very few receivers I've seen in this game where I just believe, you know, you can't cover them. You throw it up high, they're going to make a play. There's been Randy Moss. I didn't, you know, I'm a little before your time. I felt that way, like, route running wise, like, no one could stop Jerry Rice, and I believe that way about Megatron. I think that you can devise whatever defense you want, and he's going to make plays.
Well, yeah, and shoot, let it be known, he's not even healthy right now.
Right.
And just somebody with that size, he's 6'4", 6'5". The way he gets in and out of breaks is just, don't confuse it, he's not the fastest guy on the field.
No.
The way he can cut and run routes, and then, you know, his hands are so solid. He's the best that we've seen for a long time. And I can't hear the Jerry Rice argument. Jerry Rice is starting to become kind of the Emmitt Smith argument. He did it the longest.
Wow,
and,
I didn't see that coming.
I'm starting to see that. I mean, I'm more of a freak athlete guy. I that's the kind of stuff I want to watch. Where Jerry was just, you know, he was very good but very pedestrian too.
So are you saying you think Jerry was a product primarily of the, you know, at that particular point in time, the West Coast offense was new. No one had seen it. All the quick passes. Did Jerry Rice more a product of that system, the quarterbacks he played with? What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying, with that said, he's the greatest of all time. But that's going to be here in jeopardy here soon. I am saying that. I'm saying that, he was in the right place at the right time to play for two Hall of Fame quarterbacks where, you know, the mold was put where it needed to be. Now, don't get me wrong, to be able to play that long, to be able to, you know, put your body through punishment for 15-plus years.
You realize you're just as productive with the Raiders, right?
But I mean, he played for a good quarterback there too, and he wasn't just as productive. He had some huge years in the '80s.
I mean,
age, right?
He had bigger years, obviously, because of age. But like, he was productive when he had Tim Brown on the other side, but he was productive with the Raiders.
No, he was, and like I said, I still got him as the greatest of all time, just because of the numbers, the longevity. But when you compare it, you're comparing him to Megatron. It's you're comparing apples to oranges. I mean, Megatron is the best specimen that we've seen at the wide receiver position.
Better than Moss?
Randy didn't have. I mean, Randy didn't have it between the ears. Randy went when he wanted. I mean, come on, he went out there. The years in Oakland have to count against Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean, with everything we've heard, all I hear when I hear Randy Moss is high football IQ. I hear that all the time. Tom Brady says he has a high football IQ. You think that's all just people saying what we want to hear because they don't want us to think poorly of Randy? No, I mean, I believe he had a high football IQ, and he's a freakish athlete. Like, I heard Chris Carter say this, Randy Moss is that type of guy who he'll show up, have a box of, like, candy, and then go out and score, like, fucking three touchdowns against the Cowboys. Like, no one's been that good. Like, and granted, maybe he should work like Megatron works, but
Well, there you go. You got the cross between Jerry Rice and Randy Moss playing right now in front of your eyes. So
no,
I know that's in the
point.
Same division as your Bears. I hear a little angst in your voice, but that's Don't
get me wrong. I'm a fan of Megatron. I like Megatron. I just, you know, you're trying to throw up all this greatest of all time stuff, the greatest specimen we've ever seen. I'm just throwing up people who may have been better.
All right, I got you. Now, let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's get back to kind of what we've seen this week. Was there anything else that caught your eye? I know we had definitely no argument on the best game of the week, but what else caught your eye this week?
In a bad way, the thing that caught my eye this week was how bad the Chip Kelly offense is when there's no quarterback to run it. Like that, you know, I don't know if you watched that game, but Vic on a bad half, like, basically, if you don't have to honor the quarterback in the run game, just load up on McCoy and beat him to death. Like, and, you know, when they put in slower quarterbacks, Nick Foles ran a little bit, but when they put in Matt Barkley, that offense had absolutely no chance of succeeding. So sometimes I wonder if this, you know, we talk about the read option, but every other quarterback that runs the read option, Cam Newton, Robert Griffin III, can do other things. Like, if you don't, you got to have a guy who can sling it and run it, I think, in that offense where it doesn't work. I think basically, I won't say the jig is up on Chip Kelly, but we're real close to the jig being up on Chip Kelly.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that. He's going to have some, which I'm not sure what his plans are, but he's going to have some options to go back to college this year. And he may want to, but I also got to think that when he came in, he knew Vic wasn't probably the long-term solution, number one. He's never – I can't remember when he's made it through a full season. So he may have a five-year plan where he's looking at trying to get somebody through the draft that can run his offense the way he wants it ran.
Mariota.
I mean, Mariota's going to be out there this year,
right?
Which he's got to like him. And then, like you said, he needs somebody. Mike Vick is just – he can't play quarterback in the league at 190 pounds.
And running around like
Doug
he does.
Doug Flutie
and
Mike Vick are done.
No more Doug Flutie than Mike Vick.
I can't see it. The players are too big and too fast to where you can't run around and throw the ball.
Every quarterback coming out that look like Andrew Luck now.
Well, I mean, look at these guys. The guys you're talking about running the read option, and you're even seeing a little bit of a problem with Robin Griffin III because
right.
he can't run and then throw effectively because he's hurting too.
The only
Kaepernick and Cam Newton are
they're big.
They're huge.
They're big. You're
they're
right.
Huge.
You're right.
That's who you need if you want to run the read option. If you're Chip Kelly and you want to run that offense,
you need
a
guy who could take
Kaepernick. Or
you need a guy
Kaepernick.
who's going to be running people over, taking that pound. And you're right. I think the only other thing that caught me this week that I can really think of is I think, and don't get me wrong, we haven't seen them against anybody really good, but Carolina's starting to look pretty decent. Like I like that defense. You know me, I'm all like even when people were all bad down on them, I'm a Cam supporter. I've always been high on Cam. I think he's finally looking good in the passing game. They're not running as much read option. Because he is slinging it pretty good. I think Carolina, I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I think they're going to make some noise before we get to the playoffs. What else caught your eye?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think and maybe the only thing that holds Carolina back is their coaching. But you know what caught my eye? It's been catching my eye for a few weeks. How bad are the Jacksonville Jaguars?
They might be 0-16 bad.
Right, and I watched the 0-16 Lions, and there were weeks where I thought we were going to get wins, and we maybe – I don't see –
Jacksonville's
I really think
yet.
Jacksonville's going 0-16. They are terrible. If anyone hasn't watched them play, they are terrible.
I cannot see – you're right. I've watched a lot. I can't see an NFL team that they should – and as bad as the Vikings have looked and as bad as the Giants have looked, they still look a lot better than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't know if you know this. They are last in points scored and points allowed. And according to my research, that has never happened in the NFL. So they are bad.
Yeah. We're in Vegas. I think that's worse. And I think I put some money on them to cover like 11, 12 points. I think I watched some of that game and I realized this team won't – like. I can't see them covering. Like, no matter, you could put the spread at 100. I think they wouldn't cover. That's how bad. I mean, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but like that seems really bad. And
they're years away from being good. I think where you've seen Kansas City turning around right. in 1 year, where we've seen the worst team who had the first pick in the draft last year turning around in 1 year. That's not something Jacksonville is looking forward to. They're going to be bad for a while.
And the other thing about that is the league has gone so far with the salary cap, trying to get teams to kind of be even, try to get as much parity in the league. Like, how bad have they been mismanaged to where you get this bad in a league where everyone has the same amount of money to spend? Like, how do you get a team that's this bad? I mean, we know with your Lions, when they got 0-16, they got bad because they hired the worst GM in the history of football. But I don't even know who Jacksonville's GM is. But how do you get this bad? That's a bad football team.
I can't call it, but if you're anyone that's headed to Vegas, please don't put your money on Jacksonville because you're going to come home unhappy just like we did. So. Anyways, with that said, give me your Super Bowl prediction. We got to hear it now here on the first show, and as we get through a few shows, we'll see changes. But
I got to do that. All right. Well, I came up with a little power ranking teams I like right now. I had the Saints at 5. I have Indy at 4. KC at 3. Seahawks at 2 and Denver at 1. So I guess if I had to pick Super Bowl today, it would be Seahawks and Denver. I really like the way the Seahawks play defense. I know it was against the Rams last night, but I was mildly impressed by the goal line stand. I like the formula with Browner and Richard Sherman at corner, like locking up receivers. They got a little trouble with the offensive line. Looked pretty bad last night, but
and Zach Stacy got off on them too. Yeah. Don't forget that.
But right now, I would say they look like the best team that I've seen in the NFC. The Packers obviously are coming on. Saints look good, like I said. If I had to pick today, I would say Denver and Seattle.
No, I didn't quite catch that. Did you have Kansas City in your top five in your power rankings?
They were three. I like them, but they haven't played anybody yet.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've heard a lot of Kansas City talk. I don't have them in my top five. My Super Bowl, I like to go a little surprise. I can't go with the chalk. This guy's won Seattle-Denver. I mean, who's not going Seattle-Denver at this point? I'll tell you, I like that. I think it's been a surprise to people. They had a few injuries over the last couple of weeks, but Cincinnati. I know you don't have them in your top five. That's my AFC Super Bowl prediction right now. I think
over
the Bengals. I think. I mean, the Colts. Now, don't get me wrong. They have some impressive wins, but other than that, I don't see it. Andrew Luck, he's not ready. The defense had anger starts in the middle.
Andy Dalton is ready.
Well, I just think they have a defense that's built for the playoffs.
Their defense is better. Their defense is better.
I think they can go into Denver or vice versa if Denver had to go there. I think they can. They have a front four that can get after Manning. I know watching Manning playoff games, he lost before to the Steelers and Chargers and different things. With a strong front four, that's what's going to get Peyton Manning. And I just don't think Peyton Manning's ever going to win another Super Bowl. I really don't.
I'm not a big Peyton Manning fan, so I kind of hope he doesn't. Just because I enjoy him being in that conversation. Well, he's only won one. Like I don't know why I enjoy that, but I do. I've been down on Peyton Manning since Tennessee, so I'm with you on that.
And then I got to go on the NFC side of things. If Seattle is going to be tough. If Seattle gains home field advantage, it's going to be real, real tough to go
right
to that field and beat them. But if they have to go to New Orleans, I like New Orleans to come out of the NFC, and I got a New Orleans-Cincinnati Super Bowl with the Saints marching on.
I like New Orleans a lot. I have never – the NFL is the one sport where I'm a big believer in coaching. Basketball, I think you can get by with poor coaching. Baseball, you know. Whatever. But NFL, you need that head guy. I think Sean Payton has made such a big difference in what that team looks like on Sunday. Not just offensively either. Like, yeah, Sean Payton comes back. Yeah, Rob Ryan. I think that team – I like that team a lot, actually. I'm probably just not a quarterback dude, but I would say I'm not a big Drew Brees guy, but I really like that football team.
Yeah, so and just as somebody that's watched football over the years, Mike, I know you're the same way. And at week eight, the teams that are at the top of week eight, they're not the teams that win the Super Bowl. And
right,
a lot of times, the number one seed going into the playoffs is not the team that goes to
right
the Super Bowl. So, I think you do got to look off the map. I remember one year Tennessee was like 14-2, or I think that was a Kerry Collins-led team. And, I remember people, oh, yeah, this is their year, Tennessee's going to go. And it's those teams that do well in the regular season, that's not how you build a Super Bowl championship.
That's kind of why I'm not big on KC. I could see KC being one of those teams that, like, 13-3 and losing the first round.
I got to give my man Alex Smith credit out there, though, because he does look real good. Like I said, I'm not sold on the whole team. I don't even think he has great weapons, but he looks good.
He looks
good. Not great, but he looks good.
Okay, you're right. He looks good. He I hate the term game manager. I really do. But they got a strong running game. They play good defense. You're right. I would hate to be a quarterback and have Dwayne Bowe and Donnie Avery be my receivers. So I think he is kind of handcuffed there. They just cut Moyaki, so I don't even know who plays tight end out there. Is it Fasano?
Fasano's out there, yeah. He just came back, and then they got Seth McGrath
yeah
from I think, wasn't he the lead singer of some band? I can't remember, but yeah, he's playing tight end out there too.
So yeah, from a weapon standpoint, you're right. He doesn't have much to work with, and so heck, I mean, you know, we're talking about off the air. We're talking about the Larry Fitzgerald thing. Heck, there's a team. There's a team you might want to try to get as a trade partner for Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, they seem to be like, if they need weapons, I mean.
Well, The trade deadline ended today, so that's not going to happen. That's,
well, you know, I'm off season.
Off season deal, yeah, right. Since you kind of turned it to a local perspective, I don't know if you look, you got the Cardinals sitting at 4-4 right now. They're going to come into their bye week, and then coming out of their bye week, they play Houston, which is a beatable team.
It's a winnable game.
And then they follow with Jacksonville, so the Cardinals could, and they got Houston at home, so the Cardinals could be 6-4 coming out of Week 11. Any playoff hopes there, Mike? 6-4.
No, I hear what you're saying. I know where you're going with that. However, they're not good. They're just not good. Like, that line's bad. I mean, the line's bad. Palmer's pass, I won't say his prime, but he's past being he's not even close to being great or elite. They don't really have a running game, even though Ellington looks like he's going to be their feature back going forward. And that division's too tough. Like, they're not gonna leapfrog the Niners. They're not gonna leapfrog the Seahawks. So now you're looking at a wild card where, you know, you're competing with Carolina, you're competing with possibly Detroit. You know, I just can't see them. I can't see them making the playoffs. Every team that I've mentioned as possible playoff teams are better than the Cardinals.
No, you're right. I was just trying to give some Cardinal fans some hope.
Oh, we actually have a caller.
Oh, wow. All right, well, let's you wanna, yeah, go ahead and put them on, and then we'll take a break after that.
Yeah, right. All right, you're on. Let's see. I know what I'm doing.
Caller. I'm having a little trouble with the switchboard. You're on
All Things Sports. Caller, you say what?
Guys, what's going on? It's D-Slate.
D-Slate, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Not too much, guys. What's going on? I've been listening, man. I want to thank everybody for tuning in right now for the debut of our new sports show, the ATS show. I've been listening, man. You guys are putting out there some really great points about what's going on in the NFL right now. I just took a look at the power rankings on Yahoo, and it looks like they have the Saints at the top of the list as number one, and they have the Colts as number two. So, you know, I wanted to ask you guys, as far as the NFC and the AFC, what do you guys think about the number one and number two, and with the way those two teams are playing right now, looking at some of the other teams coming up, do you guys think that they could possibly stay in the spot that they're in, or do you guys think it's going to change coming into the second half of the season?
Well, I'll take the Colts side of things. You know, I think the Reggie Wayne injury is going to be bigger than people think. They don't have a lot to replace Reggie Wayne with, and the defense, I'm just not sold on it. The Indianapolis defense, they played well. They beat Seattle, they beat San Francisco, and they beat Denver. So they really beat the three best teams in a lot of people's minds in the league. But once again, I'll come back to that's regular season. I just don't see December and January greatness for the Colts. I think I got to rank Denver ahead of them in the AFC, and I got to rank my Cincinnati Bengals in front of them in the AFC. And, you know, I think they are right there with the Patriots as maybe the third best team in the AFC, so I don't see that. And then, I definitely have New Orleans. I have them marching on into January. Mike?
Nah. Even though I said it just to argue with you, I'm kind of in agreement with you on the Colts. I don't think they have enough defense. I don't think even though I like Luck, I don't think he's ready, like, to go up against the big boys. You have to go up against the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, and come playoff time. So I don't really like the Colts. However, like we already said, I really can see the Saints coming out of the NFC and being the best team and then pee before it's done.
Now let me ask you, D-Slay, before you have to go, what about, I know just from knowing you, I know that you're a Green Bay Packers fan. Any playoff success there or Super Bowl hopes, or what do you think is going on with the Packers this year?
Well, you know, if I really want to be honest, I mean everybody knows I'm a Packers fan, but you know, if I want to be honest, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, right now, you know, with some of the injuries that they have going on, you know, right now I'm happy with the way the offense is looking. The defense is looking decent as far as the defensive line. I'm still not too happy with the secondary. Even when you look at the game last night, they still allowed, you know, Minnesota to come back, and you know, they allowed Minnesota to score, you know, quite a few touchdowns. But I feel like the secondary is still kind of lacking, and I think going into the end of the season, going into the playoffs. I mean, because I do think they're going to make it to the playoffs, but I feel like if they can't figure out a way to keep to keep elite teams like the Saints or great offensive teams in the NFC, if they can't keep those teams from scoring, then they're going to have some issues, and I don't think that they're going to progress too far in the playoffs if they don't figure out a way to fix that. But if they can keep opposing teams from scoring, from catching up with them as far as scoring, because they don't have a problem with scoring points, but I think if they can keep opposing teams from scoring too much, as far as the passing game is concerned, I think they may have an opportunity to go further. But if they can't fix that, I don't really see them going too far into the playoffs.
Well, hey, you got Clay Matthews coming back, so that's gonna cut some time off for the opposing quarterback. So that may help out your secondary there. But yeah, I'm in agreement. They maybe need to add some pieces there on defense. I noticed during the telecast when they were playing Minnesota, it was interesting to hear. I think it was Chris Collinsworth was saying, how much homegrown players they have, how many players that they draft where they don't bring in a lot of free agents, and I thought that was impressive.
Exactly.
Where they do everything in-house. So, through the draft, they may be able to make some noise here in the offseason.
I'm not going to say anything good or bad about the Packers. I'm a Bears fan, so I'm just going to leave you guys with that. But let Miller handle all Packer conversations.
Hey, I'm a Lions fan, so I can speak about the rest of the division.
Well, I just want to say I'm really liking the show, guys. I think you guys are doing great. I definitely can't wait to see, you know, what else you guys got in store for the coming weeks for football, and as well as we know, basketball is coming up. Regular season is starting tonight with the big game, the Bulls against the Heat, and of course, like Mike, I'm a big Bulls fan, so I'm looking forward to that tonight and
yeah.
The debut of
definitely watch that.
You know, Derrick Rose coming back, and I can't wait to see how they decide to play Miami tonight. And I really do think it's going to be. This is a preview of the playoffs, and could possibly be a preview of the Eastern Conference Championship game. But I do think that Derrick Rose has something to prove, and I really do think he's going to prove it this season. So that's
yeah, he was like that in the preseason, and he's ready to go. But anyway, we'll go ahead and we're going to take a break right here. Derrick, I know you got to go. You have a fantasy matchup this week that you definitely need to turn some attention to. So I don't want to take up too much of your time because you definitely need to get into the lab and make some pickups because that's a big game for you this week. So
I really like how you kind of sneak that in there, but it's okay. I mean, I got it under control.
All right, man. Well, thanks for your call, Derrick, and we appreciate the opportunity, man.
All right, guys. Keep it up, man. I love the show, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more on the ATS show.
Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at 58 years old, 8 years into the disease, when all the lights went out.
For me, it was...
I guess I could, yeah.
Looking into the eyes of somebody with Alzheimer's, right. You just don't see the stuff. The person's soul is like gone.
And it takes a toll on everyone. I mean, it's a depressing disease to watch unfold before your eyes.
She actually thought those of us who were caring for her and who loved her most were her worst enemies.
I'll take another little turn.
It changes your life.
The magnitude of it is indescribable. My mother taught me to be in the moment.
We have to live in the moment with them.
And I'm going to be with that person right now in this moment, wherever she is.
Now is the moment. If we work together, we can stop this epidemic.
Contact Bright Focus and learn more.
Can we touch it all on the...
Who are you? Who are you?
Hi, Mom. It's me.
For 25 years, with the help of people like you, the Alzheimer's Association has focused on preventing, treating, and finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease. To help, visit
www.alz.org. www.alz.org.
All right, we're back live with the ATS show. Big Mike, C. Miller, holding it down. We're going to talk. We got about a little bit of showtime left. We're going to talk a little bit more NFL, talk about some individual players who we like, who we don't like, maybe give some fantasy knowledge for you guys if you're out there listening. I lost a tough heartbreaker this week because of Zach Stacy, actually. 7 points to hit going into last night. Zach Stacy blew it up, ended up losing. So not a big Rams fan at the moment. However, I did win in Adams League. I did win the ugliest fantasy matchup of the season so far, I think, over Paul Starr, who is by far the worst fantasy player I've ever come across. I know you have an opinion on that, Mr. Miller.
Yeah, he's 1-7 in the second year in a row, and he's on shaky ground as far as if he's going to be invited back into the league next year. Now, with fantasy, I know, you know, we got some I want to talk about real quick. This is not even fantasy, really, but you know, I wanted to bring up Jay Cutler. I know he just ripped his groin. He is a free agent going into the off season, and I with the Bears fan in the house, I kind of want to hear a Bears fan opinion on: do they bring him back? Is he someone that can lead a team to a championship, or is he someone that you would rather see that go? He's 30 years old. He's kind of entering that time where it's kind of make or break, where he needs to do something. He's not young anymore, so you kind of have seen what he has. What do you think going forward? Because he's going to require top 10 quarterback money. So what's your opinion, Mike?
I think it just kind of, for me, it depends on what your plan B is. That team is kind of put, like, you know, the defense is getting old. But the offense is kind of put together to win now. Like, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Alshon Jeffrey, you got Matt Forte. The nucleus of that offense can put up points. If you try to do a rebuild, let's say you draft a quarterback, that doesn't really work with the kind of talent you got. I'm not a big, you know, unless there's another Peyton Manning sweepstakes, who are you going to get as a free agent that's going to be as good as Jay Cutler? So,
well, he's a top free agent quarterback, but with that said, he's commanding at least $15 million a year, which – that handicaps your team sometimes in other ways. You can't sign Forte, for example.
Right.
I
think as a, you know, I'm not a GM, obviously, but I think you have to decide where you are. Are you trying to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years? If you're trying to win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years, then, yeah, you resign it. If you think you're farther away than that, then you don't. Simply put, I mean, you're not. If you do go to a young quarterback, you're not going to keep guys like Forte and Marshall anyway. They're not going to want to go through a rebuild. No player at that point in their career wants to go through a rebuild. So if you think you're close, then, yeah, you resign up.
Okay, I'll go with that. And then
what do you think?
Well, as far as the Bears are concerned, they got to make a run at Cutler. Like you said, Plan B, I don't know who you bring in there, because they definitely – who do they have backing them up?
McCown. Yeah.
Yeah, that Kate or Luke or somebody, one of the McCown brothers. But,
yeah, it's a bunch of them.
Yeah, so and really he's a good backup, but I can't go with Cutter. Now I know another free agent coming into the offseason is Jimmy Graham, another fantasy stalwart. Where do you see Jimmy Graham ending up? Do you think the Saints? Do you think the Saints pay him?
They have to. I feel like you don't have any choice but to. When he's on the field, he makes everything – like, whenever you have a tight end that's that dynamic, like you saw it the 1 year when Gronkowski was real good, whenever you have to spend that much time covering a tight end, the outside receivers just – I mean, they're all just one-on-one matchups. He's such a matchup nightmare that you have to throw money at him. Like the Pats threw money at Gronk. You kind of almost have to spend that money and, you know – hopefully he doesn't get hurt like Gronk gets hurt or has gotten hurt, but you got to put that money in him. Somebody else will. I mean, Jimmy Graham's going to get paid.
Right. All these names I'm reading off are free agents, so they're they've earned the right to talk to other teams, so they're definitely going to listen. And like you said, they're going to have a lot of money thrown at them. So I'll read off a couple other free agents. You got to keep the lead. That's going to be a free agent, which he's revived his career since he left. Since he left New England.
Another guy who couldn't play for Shiano. They went somewhere else and played better.
Oh man, yeah, Shiano. He's on his way out.
He's got to be.
Now, also you got Brian Arakpo, Eric Decker. Which is he a product of Peyton Manning, or is he a receiver you pay?
He's a second tier free agent. I wouldn't pay him top money, but depending on what he's asking. I think someone's going to mess up and pay him top money, but I think he's more a product of that system.
Right. I think he's on his way out of Denver. I agree. I think someone brings him in, and that's kind of where I was going to take it, so he kind of took it away from me. But I think someone gives him number one receiver money. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver 2 years in a row. Also, we got Brandon Spike, Alex Mack, Greg Hardy, which I think Greg Hardy is going to get paid.
He's going to get paid.
Anybody that watched Thursday Night Football, seeing him do his thing. I don't know. Let me read some free agents that made big money this year, and you can tell me if you should pay. Mike Wallace, he signed for 5 years, $60 million. He hasn't made a contribution.
No.
You got Greg Jennings, who signed for 5 years, $45 million. He has not made a contribution.
He has not.
So you got to be careful with some of these free agents. Also, they look really good on paper, and then sometimes they really don't. They really don't pan out. So
I think part of the problem with both of those guys is that you need to get free agents that kind of fit the team you have. If you have AP and Christian Ponder, your quarterback, you don't pay that much money for Greg Jennings, and you know maybe they think Tannehill's better than he really is, but I don't think he's. And to be honest with you, I've never really been sold on Mike Wallace as being a number one receiver anyway. I think he was just happened to be the best receiver in Pittsburgh at the time, but is he a number one? Probably not. I mean,
he doesn't look like it.
He's a speed guy, but I think that's all he is a speed guy.
So yeah, be careful. Be careful of your team. I think that kind of was what I was trying to mention to Derek when he called in with, Green Bay does everything homegrown, and sometimes that's the way for you. I mean, they're consistently good year in and year out, and teams, like the Vikings and like the Bears. I know who they paid Julius Peppers an inordinate amount of money. Sometimes these free agent deals handicap teams as well. So a team like Green Bay, I mean, when's the last big free agent signing they brought in? They really don't.
Reggie White, maybe.
Yeah, right. Charles Woodson maybe is another one. But, some of these big contracts really, really handicap teams.
We got about 1 minute left. Well, with our last minute, you have anything you want to let them know for the week coming up or any final thoughts on the week that just passed?
By the time next week we'll have a World Series champion to talk about. I think, like we mentioned in the first of the show, I think that's going to be your Boston Red Sox. Also, go ahead and who do we have this Thursday? We got Miami and Cincinnati. We got to make our pick of the week against the spread. Being this is ATS against the spread, all things sports. ATS has many meanings. You got Cincinnati going into Miami -2.5. Who you got?
Cincinnati.
He's a favorite better.
I'm taking Miami plus 2.5. Give me the points. Go Dolphins. So everybody out there, enjoy your week of sports. Go ahead and join us next Tuesday, same time, same place.
All right. Thanks for listening. Big Mike C. Miller. We'll see you next week. Have a good week.